Let's go into the word this evening. Let's agree in prayer. Let's go into the word this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Today is the last day of the month of April. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So it means that we are still in the series we're doing the honor culture. But like I said on Sunday, over the next few weeks, just in preparation for times of refreshing, we'll just, you know, try as much as possible to yield to the Holy Ghost and just see where He would have us go part time. You know, let me just share something. You know, in Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. You look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 2. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, one of the things you will see from, you know, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, what I want to show you here is the day of Pentecost will be a special day. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So can we qualify the day of Pentecost as a special meeting? So it says the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, yeah, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3 now says, "And there appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." And verse 4, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Flip to Acts chapter 10. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. You know, if you've been around for a while, you know that we've used the story a lot of times. One of the things you want to see is where I want to pay your attention to in verse 34. So the Bible says, "Then Peter," verse 34, "opened up his mouth and he said of a truth, I perceive that God is what? No respecter of persons." Look at verse 35. It says, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him." Verse 36 says, "The word which God said unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." Verse 37 says, "That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all of Judea," right, "and began from where? Galilee, after the baptism which John preached." Now look at verse 38. "How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth," right, "with the Holy Ghost and with what? With power, who went about what? Doing good." How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Look at verse 40, or look at 39. "And we are witnesses of all these things, or all things which he did both in the land of the Jew and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on the tree." Verse 40 now says, "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." 41 says, "Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead." 42 now says, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of what? Quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall what? Receive remission of sins." Now look at verse 44. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. "Whilst Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost what? Fell." What's the similarity between "while Peter yet spoke" and Acts chapter 2? There's a phrase you will see in Acts chapter 2 that's similar to what you see in Acts chapter 10. No. Look at it again. Yeah? Yeah? Was it? What are you seeing in Acts chapter 10 and is similar to what you can see in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 2? Okay, we said this was a meeting. Yeah, the suddenly. Are we here? You are saying it. Yeah? Yeah? The suddenly. Right? What exactly is it about the suddenly? It means that whilst we're in a meeting, or whilst they were in a meeting, there are meetings where things can happen and you call it suddenly. It's a "while Peter yet spoke." Bible says the Holy Ghost fell. That means when we come together for special occurrences or special meetings, we can have experiences that seem like suddenly. Are we together? Yeah? We can have experiences that seem like suddenly. You know, which is one of the things I paid attention to during Christian meetings. How there is a way we say things, there's a way, rather, we respond in meetings. Do you understand that if we say that while Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell, you know, the Bible now says, on them which heard the word, now, that means of on them which were in that meeting, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that of the Gentiles also was poured out, what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. That means there was an action that was done. Right? So there was the Holy Ghost falling and there was an action. There was as Peter spoke. So it means that we can have meetings, and as meetings are going on, as the teaching is going on, we have a change in the direction of the meeting. Are we together? Yes? So we can have a pre-planned meeting where we come together to listen to God's word, and as we listen to God's word, the Holy Ghost will fall. Are we together? Right? And how does it start? See, it only starts when by default you are somebody who is already very active in the things of God when meetings are going on. Are we together? Right? You are always active, already active in meetings when meetings are going on. Right? So it means that, for instance, certain words can be said. Right? And whilst the preacher is preaching, there are certain things you are re-echoing. There are certain things that are re-echoed. You know, I've taught you before several in scriptures that the word of God is written so that it can be spoken. Are we together? So it means that speaking is a vital, vital, vital part of our faith. Right? So it means that when we're in church, there's a thing called points and instances where speaking will be done by those who are seated. So it means that we can't, because we're a charismatic church, right? There's a silence that is not permitted in our environment. Are we here? There's a silence that is not permitted in our environment, right? Such that now we are not saying you are to distract the people in the local church or the people in the meeting, but you are responding to God's word. Are we here? Do you understand? We're responding. So that's why you see, for instance, you know, during Christian meeting, we have spoken about how there are certain responses you need to always keep giving when you are in meetings. There are responses you need to keep giving. Because, you see, from one person's response, it can boomerang to other people. I hope you know that Acts chapter 2 did not start with all of them at once. Eh? It was going to be very hard for them to all be together. How many do you think they were in that room? How many were they? How many were they? How many were they in Acts 2? 120. How do you know they were 120? You backtrack to Acts 1. Is that correct? Now, do you think that 120 people will always be on the same wavelength at all times? No. All together, right? There will be the one and the two that will spur the four and the ten. Are we together? There will be the one and the two that will spur the 10 and the 20s. Are we together? Right? There will be the 10s that will spur the 50s and will spur the 40s. So the question now becomes, can you be a one that spurs the 10? Are we here? Can you be a three that spurs the 30? Right? Can you be a three that will spur the 30? And Zeal, Dalu, Zeal, 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 I'm talking to you, Zeal, can you hear me? Dalu, can you hear me? So just play, okay? Is that okay? Just play. Zeal and Dalu, just play, okay? Good girl, good boy. Right? Just play with your toys so you don't distract us, okay? So there are meetings where we come together, right, and there will be what you call suddenly. But the suddenly, a lot of times, we will start with a one and a two yielding. Are we together? A one and a two will yield. They will have to yield. Now, the question now becomes, what do we others do when one or two are yielding? Are we together? What do we do when one or two are yielding? What do we do? We what? We follow as well. Are we here? Are we here? Let me tell you something. See, I know there are some things that need to be taught and some things that need to be emphasized over and over and over again. One of the things I've been emphasizing over and over again, right, is your conscience and consciousness being in church when we're in meetings. Are we together, right? You know, a lot of times it's very easy for you to get distracted. The slightest thing can get you distracted. You know, but one of the things you want to always ensure for yourself is to try to minimize the ratios of distractions that can possibly exist. You know, in life generally, right? Generally, as we speak, an average thing is distracting. Is that not correct? And then, you know, you can be focused at work and a call comes into your phone, and even if you don't pick the call, you are distracted. Is that correct? Even if you don't pick your phone to respond to that call, you are distracted, right? So the question now becomes, what exactly should you do for yourself in meetings when you come together? You ensure you avoid forms of distractions as much as possible. So it means that your mind is in what is being said and you are pondering and listening attentively. You know, there's passive listening and there's active listening. Is that correct? Yeah, there's passive listening. There's you can passively listen to people, right? You can actively listen to people. You can passively listen to people, right? But when you come to church, don't allow the passiveness of your listening to be what is predominant. Ensure you are active. Ensure you are active. What am I saying? I'm saying when we come to meetings, there are certain responses that we give. Are we together? And we are actually yielding ourselves to exposures of moments like suddenly. Are we together? Exposing moments like suddenly. You get the point? Very, very, very important, right? So the Bible says in Acts 10, it says, verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, the what? The Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost what? The Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Praise God forevermore. Right? So we can have experiences, we can have encounters where we'll be meeting together and we'll just have supernatural divergence or supernatural suddenlies. Praise God forevermore. Yeah. Say, I'm born again. Say, I'm full of power. Say, I'm born again. Say, I'm full of power. Say, God's power rests on my inside. Say, God's power rests on my inside. Say, God's power dwells here. So, when you come for meetings, where should your mind be? In the meeting. Are we together? In the meeting. Your mind should always be in the meeting. Your mind should always be in the meeting. It's very, very important. It can't be overemphasized. You know, there are certain things that will be said in the meeting, done in a meeting, and if you are distracted, you will lose out. If you are distracted, you will lose out. If you are distracted, you will lose out. So you ensure that you bring your all into a meeting. It's part of honor. Are we together? You know that if you are standing before a CEO, or let's say one of the top CEOs in the world, for instance, and you are in his presence, and you are standing before his presence or her presence, there's a decorum, there's a posture you take. I've not found that a lot of us as Christians, we try to relegate the postures we can take in local church because we think that the Bible or local church, for instance, teaches about freedom in the church. Such that we have a sense of decorum that is, practiced much more outside, in secular worlds than in the assembly of saints. And I always give an example. When you see people who are, traditionalists or people who, are into all this shrine and worship of, the gods, as it were, there's a posture they have in their meetings. Have you seen people, for instance, there's certain shoes they don't wear. They remove their shoes outside and they walk in. What is that? Is a sense of honor for that meeting place or for that place. Or you say altars, for instance, right? Those practices are things that you need to learn from. Unfortunately, we are saying you have to learn from it. Yeah, but we're trying to say it should make you realize that we don't just act anyhow when we come together. We don't just behave anyhow when we come together. Because God's honor, when God calls a meeting, his honor is there. Are we here? When God calls a meeting, his honor is there. When God calls a meeting, his honor is there. So God has placed his honor on our meetings. It means that we need to admit and acknowledge within ourselves that we act as though we know God's honor is there. Are we together? We know we act as though God's honor is there. It's very, very important, right? So there's a way we respond. There's a way we bring our heart. You know, there's sometimes some things are said and you allow it to pass over your head because your mind was not there. There's some things that are said, and because you allow yourself to get distracted by whatever the cause or whatever the case might be, right? But there's also a thing called bringing your conscience back, right? You know you're in control of your conscience. Is that correct? Yeah, you're in control. You can control your conscience. You can control your mind. You can control your mind. You know, for instance, some of the things I always say is that when you come for meetings, you have your writing materials. That's fine. You have your notebook. That's fine. But you can also keep tongues under your breath. Altogether, you can actually be talking in tongues under your breath. Yeah, it has a way of streamlining your mind. are we together? It has a way of streamlining your mind. You know, for instance, when we pray, and we say you should pray, and you pray loud, right? Why do you pray loud? Why do you pray actively? Right? You pray actively because it has a way of tuning down distractions around you. You know, it's when you are praying and you're just mumbling words in prayer. That's when you can see something is wrong with somebody there. That's when you can see that, oh, somebody is not standing well. Are we together? But you know, why do we say close your eyes? Why do we say give yourself to, you know, rigorous? Get your mind in your prayer. Let me tell you something. You know, there's something called singing in tongues. Is that correct? You know, there's praying in tongues. Right? You know, I'm tempted to separate praying in tongues from talking in tongues. Are we together? Right? I'm tempted to separate praying in tongues from talking in tongues. You can call them the same, basically. You know, but I'm saying there's a way you can talk in tongues, and there's a way that you are supposed to be praying in tongues when you are praying in tongues. So when you are praying in tongues, for instance, right, and it's a rigorous prayer, getting yourself in, particularly with the saints, right, you put your mind and everything in it. All together. But you know, you can talk in tongues, you know, you're not necessarily in a prayer meeting. That's me just trying to get myself, you know, to explain what I want to say in my mind. You know, but the funny thing is, what do you do? So it means that when the word is taught, you can talk in tongues. Because I want to separate, or I want to explain something, that's why I'm trying to separate praying and talking in tongues. So when the word is taught, you can, for lack of better words, you can talk in tongues. Are we together? Right? So if you understand what I'm saying, it means I can say not pray in tongues. You get that? If you understand what I'm trying to say, for the benefit of the example, you get what I'm trying to say, right? So if I say you can talk in tongues while the word is being taught, it means that you are not as much giving all your attention to your praying. Are we here? Why? Because the word is being taught. Is that correct? Yeah? You are not as much giving your mind, your heart, your attention to your praying because the word is being taught. Okay? So when it's prayer time, for instance, what do I expect you to do? I don't expect you to talk in tongues. Because we are praying together. I can only give an example here. I hope you know. And I've identified my terms. Is that correct? Yeah? So we can pray in tongues. Our minds are together. Everything that, you know, is of us is in our prayer. We are there. But when the word is being taught, because you are actively using your ears to listen, and your mind to listen, right, and your brain is functional, it means that you will not ideally give yourself to praying in tongues in that moment. But you can give yourself to talking in tongues, which eventually you can call praying in tongues, but not praying in tongues. Do you get what I just said? Right? So it's very important as a practice for you to have. Right? You see, one of the things I taught you during Christianity is stay on the edge. All together, stay on the edge. Let me tell you, if there are people, right, who are in meetings, who don't know how to stay on the edge, a lot of times we will not yield to what the Holy Ghost wants to do per specific meetings. I'll say one more time. Right? If there are people who are not on the edge, waiting on the edge, and what does it mean to be on the edge? Or you know, I think there's a way I said it differently, right? You are trying to, you know, there's a way you sit on your seat, right? And if something is to happen, because of your posture on your seat, you cannot react immediately. Are we here? Imagine you had a baby, for instance. If you had a baby who was trying to walk, and you sat down well on the seat. You were relaxed on the seat. Are we together? If that baby was trying to walk and the baby tries to fall, can you measure your reaction time compared to if you had yourself sitting just at the edge of the chair? It can't be the same. You know, sometimes, this is what I'm about to show you. You know, sometimes, because of how you are sitting, even when baby wants to fall, the best you just do is are we here? Are we here? Meanwhile, if we're sitting on the edge, no matter what, you will try to stretch a leg to assist. Hope you are listening to me. That is how a lot of us act in meetings. So the way you even sit in meetings, right, has a way of what? Determining what you can yield to, what you can respond to. All together. It has a way of determining what you can respond to. Right? So there's a way to sit. Right? There's a posture to have. Yeah? You know, when we come to learn God's word like that, we see ourselves coming to the battlefield. Right? We are coming as soldiers to the battlefield. We are coming fully to the battlefield, trying to get ourselves ready. So that at the slightest opportunity, watch you. You see, I'm giving you time. But keep watching, though. Okay? But keep watching, though. Glory to God. Okay, sit down. So you just acted on what I said. Are we here? Now, that does not mean your sitting posture was what it's supposed to be. Do you know what I just said? Right? But did you see that in the real sense, because I've spoken to you, you already knew that that's what you should do. But I'm saying, let's assume there's a meeting where I don't say that kind of things I've said in the last 10 minutes. The way you are sitting, when I say glory to God, you just say, you get the point. You just say, glory. Or you just say, who? You know, I shout who, and be shouting the who from the back and be letting it go to the front. Yeah. Oh, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. Right? I'm teaching you the practicality of yielding in meetings. You know, so the pastor can be preaching, or pastor can be preaching, for instance, and he just says, glory to God. Right? And for instance, one person acts. And as soon as one person acts, people follow and yield. Yeah, that is what you call suddenly. Are we here? That is what you call as Peter, so as the preacher yet spoke, the Holy Ghost. There was an action. Right? So that's the way you see. So let me now say it differently, because you are getting the point gradually. Let me say it differently. So it means that even though you are sitting in church, listen to what I'm trying to say, and your physical posture seems relaxed, your mind and your heart should not be relaxed. You get what I'm trying to say? So you can be sitting in church, for instance, and let's say, for instance, you want to stretch your leg, and you're stretching your leg in front of you, and they are folding in front of you. That's a relaxing position. But the moment there is something to yield to, because your mind is not relaxed, the way your body is relaxed, you can respond. Altogether. Bible says that the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all together in one accord. That's what we have in Christian meetings. Right? And Bible now says that, and suddenly there was a sound. And suddenly, that means suddenly there were supernatural responses. That means there were activities in that meeting that the physical eyes could see. Are we together? So does that include shouting?
Yes, sir.
Right? So can the word be taught? And as the word is being taught, somebody is saying, glory to God. So can pastor be teaching about your reality in Christ and be talking to you about who you are in Christ, and you just respond with a shout? When you respond to a shout, what do we see? We see it suddenly. You know, you can respond to a shout, and in that response, other people find a response. Right? Whereby somebody just jumps up, somebody just leaps up, someone just gets up and just says, glory to God. And someone gives a run. And finally, another person gives a run. Yeah? How can we get to that phase as a church? It is only when we get our posture. Now, this psychologically, is that correct? Mentally, is that correct? Our minds ready to what? Respond. Are we together? So that is how our meetings ought to be. That's how our gatherings ought to be. That when we come together, Peter will be in front. And Peter will be talking. And he will be preaching. And you know, what he's preaching is not even asking. Peter is not even doing call and response. You get the point? He's not even saying, are we here? Yes, we are here. Are we here? Yes, we are here. While he yet spoke. That means, when Peter was speaking, they put their mind in a position to respond. Right? So believers are responding beings. Is that correct? I hope you know that even getting born again means you are responsive. Because it's God that gave you his love. You responded to his love by what? Accepting it. So in that response, it's the same way we get our posture in the local church. So when we're sitting together, for instance, we're having a meeting, for instance, right? We don't need to get ourselves to be, you know what I'm saying? I need to say it over and over. I need to listen to it again, over and over. Right? So, we don't need to always whine ourselves. We don't need to always say, hope you are here. Hope you are following. Hope you are listening. No, it is because you are actively listening to what is being said. So, for instance, I can be preaching, for instance, I'm saying, right, you know that our sins are forgiven. What do you do? You don't swallow spit on that. Are we here? Eh? You know what it means to swallow spit? You don't swallow saliva on that. You know, I can just say, you know, look, see Ephesians, for instance. See Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. What am I teaching you? How to respond in meetings. Yeah? How to respond in meetings. How to react in meetings. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, and by his grace, rather, wherein he had made us accepted and beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Okay, you see that? You see that? That means you are not on the edge. I just read, we have redemption through his blood. And I said, I have redemption through his blood. It's not who. Okay, let's assume it is who. There should be a following, you know, we call backup. There should be a backing up to what he said. Because like I've always told you, when I say have redemption to himself, you're saying who does not make you realize it's the same for you. I understand you know because you're a Christian. But I'm saying in that moment, my saying is for myself. I didn't say it's we. Right? So look at it again. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins to the riches of the grace. I have redemption through his blood. Okay, you're coming up. Right? I have forgiveness through his blood. We are coming up. Are we together? So he says, when he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself. Right? Look at verse 13. In whom he also trusted after he heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I have been sealed with the Spirit of promise. Now you're coming up. Right? So now, remember, I can give it to you in this meeting. Because I've been talking about it for 30 minutes. I'm saying that should be your posture in every meeting. Listen to what I just said right now. You see, what I just said right now is an avenue for you to say, that is my posture in every meeting. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
You see, some of these things, if you don't teach it, I know you will not get there. You know, so for me as a pastor, for instance, you know, I need to ensure that I'm saying the things that need to be said. So I need to say what I want us to see. You get the point? So what I said, that should be your posture in every meeting. What is a statement of fact? It requires a response. Because you need to remind yourself that that's the posture you need to have. Else, what will happen is, everything I've said, right, it will not be something you have. You know, speaking in response to it has a way of allowing you to connect more with it. You know, if you go to a meeting, I hope you know that if you go to a meeting where you are quiet from beginning to end, I'm talking about office, you are with your CEO and senior board members. You know, if you go to a meeting where you are quiet, except you have a manager who has given you an instruction and say, Joshua, take notes in. I hate those kind of meetings. When somebody prepares me, tells me you are going to take notes in this meeting and send the actions after. I don't understand what is my job. I'm trying to say that is what I'm supposed to do in the meeting, right? But to now say it is almost as if you are giving deadline. As soon as the meeting finishes like this, just what? Start sending it. But I'm trying to say that you can be in the meeting, right? I believe strongly that the meetings where you contribute into, you end up leaving that meeting more connected to what was spoken about. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You end up leaving more connected. There are meetings where, for instance, I get into the meeting and I put my phone on and I'm walking in the kitchen, right? And there are some where you just quickly, from the plantain, you're afraid, you just, I'm with you. You meet it again. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we can do it tomorrow. Even in your talking, you are still involved. But you know, there are meetings where you just join. For instance, where you have a group meeting with a larger group, right? Where you have like 100 people on the call. People don't really pay attention to your name. But I hope you also know that there are people who ask questions and talk in that meeting just for them to integrate themselves with that meeting. Not that what they are asking makes sense. In fact, sometimes then you see that what they are asking is what they just spoke about. Are you with me? Right? But what are they doing for themselves? They are trying to ensure that they are integrated with both the people, both the activities, and both the conversations that were had in the meeting. You got the point? So that's how the believer ought to respond in every meeting. You are reacting. You are responding. You are on the edge. You are waiting. Right? Yeah? So Pastor can be preaching, for instance, you know, and he's talking about how your sins are forgiven, like we just did right now, right? And he's saying it, you are saying it to yourself. and you are acting like one who is full of joy. We are still coming. Can I say I still sparsely? Right? I'm saying you are acting like one who is full of joy. Sit down. We will get there. You are standing up after we've. Are you getting the point? The truth is, we will get there. Praise God forevermore. Right? I'm trying to make this meeting as relaxed as possible. So, and you know we are serious. We're not laughing, yeah? We are laughing about it, but we are serious about it. Right? So it means that I don't need to come again another Sunday and come and be whining us the way I'm whining us. Is that correct? Right? Right? So you're being on the reason I'm talking about this is how to be on the edge. Right? You are, I know Sister Steph corrected me on this statement, what I just said right now, but I can't remember what she said the correct thing is. But she said, I think being on the edge has a different interpretation. I can't remember what she corrected me about, but she'll probably tell me again when I get home. But, you know, I'm trying to say you are at alert. There's a difference between somebody who is sitting down. Imagine you go for 100 meters race, right? What is the posture of the person that is running the fourth lap, 100 by 4, you know, 100 relay? What's the posture of the person running the fourth lap, even when the first person hasn't started? You are ready to receive. That's the phrase. You are ready to receive. See, the moment you are on stage, what I mean is, the moment you're in a meeting, be ready to receive. You know, I give you an example, for instance. You know, you will see, for instance, where, so if I say I want two people to come for an example, we should have a situation where the moment I say I want two people to come for an example, what is happening? We're having more than two people in front. For me to say, oh no, it's okay here, go back. How do we get there? We only get there because everybody is ready to receive. Because everybody is ready to respond. Everybody is ready to act. Praise God forevermore. So the posture of the person running the fourth lab is already, you know, how did this again? Is that correct? Yes, and the whistle has not been blown for the person running the first lap. But you are ready. You are ready. You get the point? You are ready. You are ready. You are ready. You know, a lot of times, even the person that hands over the baton continues to run with them. Are we together? What is that person ready to receive as well? The what? That's it. The victory. The medal. You get the point? So, in their running to support your running, their running does not count, but they are involved. Imagine somebody just finished running, just hand over the baton. They don't behave that way. Right? So, I'm trying to say, you are active till the end of the relay. You are active till the end of the service. You are well aware of what is being said, such that you are not missing anything that is being said. That's the posture the believer should have in meetings. That's the posture. You know, I can say it this way. Live ready. Right? Live ready. You're always ready. Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm always ready. I'm always ready. I'm always ready. When I come to meetings, I'm fully ready. That's the posture. So once you step into an auditorium for a Christian meeting, your mind, your psyche is twitched. Your mind is turned around. Your orientation is changed. You are ready and willing to receive all. You see, that's the only way you can make the best of a meeting. You know, some of the prayers we pray is that when we want to have a special meeting, for instance, I will say, this is my meeting. Right? And you know, maybe someone who is leading us in prayer will say, I will receive everything that God has for me in this meeting. That's the posture you have to receive everything. Together, that's the posture that you have to receive everything in the meeting. You are ready. You are living. As a believer, you are born again ready. That's the slant you have. You are born again ready. You are ready to react. You are ready to respond. Right? You are ready to rejoice. You are ready to say. So, for instance, if You know, I can be in a meeting, for instance, we can be here, and I'm saying, oh, my sins are forgiven. I'm the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm a rejoicing man. I rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Joy is here. You know, I can see all of that. And you just sit down and be looking. What meaneth thou? In every meeting, you have those who are ready to respond and those who are observing. Who are the observers? Go back to Acts 2. Acts 2:2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, look at verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jew, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own what? Language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongues wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya around about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jew, and proselytes. Great and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Verse 12 says what? And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? What is the phrase on the lips of an observer? What does that mean? You know, you can be in a meeting and somebody is responding to God's word, right? And somebody is saying, what did they say? Is that not correct? You know, you can also be in a meeting and nobody is responding to God's word and everybody is saying, what is there to respond to? I'm not saying you say it vocally. I'm not saying you make it audible. But in your reaction, you are saying nothing has been said. You're saying nothing has been said. Right? So when, for instance, God's word is taught, your posture is to be at alert. Say, I'm at alert. Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm always ready. That's the posture we have in meetings. Just so that we don't finish and say, what does this mean? Are we together? What, you see some pastors, I heard some pastors say certain things. They say they decide on the people who sit on the first two rows in their meetings. Are we together? Right? For two reasons. One, it makes them as a preacher realize or understand that people at least are following. And two, he uses them as a template for others behind to follow. Wait, have you heard people say, you know one of the reasons why it's not good to come late for meetings? More often than not, you sit with the unserious people behind. Thank you. She said, that's correct. Is that what she just said? Yeah. You more often than not, you sit, I'm talking about, imagine you have a meeting of 1,000 people, 2,000 people, right? And the meeting started at 10 o'clock, for instance, right? More often than not, once you start getting to 11 and people are just joining in, more often, I'm not saying that everybody there is unserious, but let me tell you, there's a difference. The atmosphere even in those regions are different. Right? You rarely find those who are willing, who are open, who are there with their fullness. Some of them might just be, I heard I branched. You know what it means? Huh? I heard I branched. I just saw I came. Right? You also know that there are people that can sit on the front. Sometimes the pastor wants to ask usher to have them to take them back. Are we together? You only say, you just give them a sign. You just say, right? I say, brother, it's like want to integrate into protocol. Come, let's show you something. Things beyond your eyes, right? I'm saying there is a way that we need to ensure we have the atmosphere of our church. You know, for lack of a better word, you can say there's a charge. There's a charged atmosphere. I hope you know that those who are victorious are not quiet people. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Right? And that's why I always tell you, in church, don't be there are times where you nod your head. But don't be known for only nodding your head. Pastor says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You say, what is? I sort of reckon. I reckon with that. I think I'm in association with that. Right? What is wrong in whatever pastor confesses? You say it again. I'm bold. Now, do you understand that I don't have to say I'm bold before you know you have to respond? Do you get the point? I'm bold. We're coming up. Right? What is the goal? That you are bringing your mind to... I hope you know. That's why you see, one of the most important parts of our meetings is the singing part. Because singing part is an opportunity for us to re-echo the things that we are or what we have or what we acknowledge. The singing part, the praying part, every part is as important. Right? So, the words you say, you see some people, they have what you call confession, right? There's nothing wrong in having confession. In fact, it's a good thing. Where you remind yourself of who you are, and that's how you respond, right? There are certain things that will be said, for instance, certain things will be spoken about. You know, for instance, last week I had a meeting. When this meeting was private, I won't talk about some of the details we said. But you know, there are some of the things I said in that meeting that, as I was saying, that you're supposed to jump on your feet and hit your head somewhere. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
I spoke about what I spoke about last week. A lot of you were looking at me like this. That was when I knew that there's work. If you're here, you will not understand. I spoke about the kind of things I spoke about last week. And what you are not saying is jumping up and saying, I will be in this. It's almost as if I said, somebody drank water when they woke up in the morning. Listen, and you're like, okay, as against wine or water, what should they have drunk? Right? There's some things that will be said, right? And I hope you know that there are certain things that you can hear about, and in your response to whatever you hear, the way you act towards it builds your faith in that line. It builds your faith in that line. It builds your faith in that direction. So for instance, when we're meeting and we're talking about the power of God and what God's power can do, what God can do, that is not a place for you to... It's good to take notes at that point. You know? Now, because talking about note, the gospel has that everything is note. We understand there is time for notes. You know that sometimes I found out recently that, you know, people, so when I go for meetings now, for instance, for a couple times now, I go with my phone ready to, my watch. So, because I don't go to meetings with my phone, right? But I go with my watch. When I go with my watch a lot of times, always fully charged, right? Because there's some utterances, you know, let me tell you something. See, there's some utterances that when you hear, because you are trying to hear what was said, the first thing that was said, second thing that was said, you can miss the third thing that was said. You don't know. You can miss the third thing that was said. You just be signing. Then when you now go back home, you want to put everything together, the one you wish for yourself, you just add it to the, you just add it to patch it up. Right? So, it's a smart thing to do. Right? When you're having believers meeting, for instance, right, you can have a recorder ready to pick what is being said. That's somebody who is ready to receive all. What you are saying to yourself is that I trust that this person that is talking to me is talking from the word of God and is God's voice to me. And I don't want to miss God's voice for anything. See, let me ask you a question. If I give an utterance, for instance, and the utterance lasts for 10 minutes, do you know that you can only, most of us, if not all of us, can only get the summary? Is that not true? Maybe you say, Pastor, in the utterance, he just spoke about this, he gave that instruction, and that was it. But there are some details, right, that they actually meant for you to act on. So how do you behave in such a meeting? For instance, what? You activate your wristwatch. You are ready to receive. When you get back home, you go back and listen to it. You pile it up. You go back and eat. A friend of mine, you know, I told you last week, right? The friend of mine who, you know, was involved in that conversation, he said the utterances I gave him in December, is that not what I said? That the words I gave him in December, he had it recorded on his phone. And he said he listened to it almost every week leading to Carrie's camp meeting. Almost every week. See, that's what words can do to you. You know, when you write words down, right? And when you hear them, they have two different implications to you. If your husband tells you, I love you, or your wife tells you, I love you with a chat, with a text, is that beautiful? Yes. But you know, there's something about hearing the voice attached to it. There's something about doing a voice note to say, I love you. There's something about doing a video to say, I love you. It's not the same as a text to say I love you. Right? I'm trying to tell you that there's a fullness that comes with some of these things that you don't want to miss out. So what do you do? Always get your phone ready. Right? You know, if some of you, your password on your phone, vroom, 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 vroom. Before you unlock your screen, you have to do vroom, 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 vroom. What is in the phone? Eh? If it's that is your utterances that people are giving you, you want people to hear, that's different. But there's no even utterance on the phone. Eh? You want to order, you will do, some of you even do fingerprint plus pattern. Type your password, phone password. That's supposed to be 1237. I mean, your date of birth, or maybe your mother's date of birth and the year they were born, 1332. Your own password is go to church if you want to be saved. How can somebody track that one? You now put at, go to, you now change the I to one. You now change the, why is life that complex? That is not the kind of phone that says you bring for believers meeting, you know. That kind of phone, just drop it outside. Go and buy another phone. That doesn't have a password. I'm trying to say, you want to be at alert every second. Every second. There are times, for instance, like I'm a teacher and I'll switch to tongues interpretation. In that tongues interpretation, it's good to pick your Bible and want to write things down. But more often than not, because of the speed at which I will talk, you will not be able to get all that I'm saying. You bring a verse, but somebody will ask a question about this, somebody will say about this, right? Sometimes you miss the third fact, the fourth fact, the fifth fact, because you were trying to write the first and the second. Right? So, why am I doing this for you today? So that in our meetings going forward, you are ready to receive at every single opportunity. Are we together? So, for instance, when hands want to be laid, right? You know, I've told you, when hands want to be laid, for instance, and hands want to be laid in a meeting, and it wasn't maybe a planned laying of hands meeting or impartation service, right? There's a way you would get yourself, you will present yourself. Altogether, there's a way you will present yourself. Very, very, very important. So, and I trust and believe that in our meetings going forward, we'll start having moments of suddenlies. We'll start having moments of suddenlies. Yeah. We'll have moments where the Holy Ghost will fall while we preach. Yeah. That's the kind of atmosphere we want to build. Altogether, that's the kind of atmosphere we want to build. That's where, so, you know, and because we are setting the template, we want a situation where people come around and join us and see the template already on ground. Altogether, right? We want a situation where you see, if you go to any church and you see them behave the way I'm talking about, it was taught. It was taught. If you go to a church, for instance, you know, I was in Abuja Church, I think 2 weeks ago, thereabout. And the truth is, the way they took notes, right, is not the way you are taking notes here. That's the truth. Right? The way they took notes, you know, it was just like 5-10 minutes into the teaching, and I was just like, ah. I'm saying, in what is being taught, right, there was a lot of attention placed on their notes than on my face, even though they were seeing me once in a year or once in 4 or 5 months. Right? But you see, the thing is, I've taught it there. I've re-echoed it there. And their pastor is re-echoing it there as much as well. Right? So what am I saying? I'm saying, we too will get there. Is that correct? But the truth remains that you need to listen to what is being said and act on it. Some of you, I'll be talking about you. I'll be using an example. I'll be saying, all your notes. I'll be talking and be shouting. Everything in your notes is Psalm 22, verse 11. Then all the way to Job 32, verse 7. How does it connect? You cannot even explain. You know, one of the things that will make some of us listen sometimes is because pastor will say, look at your neighbor and share what you learn. And some of us, they just want to start sharing. They want to be the first to go. Because they just cram one thing. They just cram one line and just say, ah, pastor, how did that thing was say? Well, just talking to himself. Right? I'm saying there's a posture you need to have to ensure that you are getting everything that is spoken about in a meeting. Hallelujah. Has that blessed you?
Yes, sir.
Let's quickly talk about a few things that we're looking at in the honor culture. Right? We started looking at honor a few weeks ago. Right? And then we started looking at how honor is expressed through giving, particularly in the last few weeks. We looked through the Macedonian church that were deep in poverty, yet Paul admonishes and speaks about how they were abounded or they abounded to the riches of their liberality. We also spoke about in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14, how Paul, 9 verse 9 to 14, how Paul will speak about how God has ordained that the minister of the gospel should live by the gospel, right? So there's nothing wrong in the Bible, in a gospel minister, eating or feeding of the gospel. It says, not muscle the mouth of the ox that treaded out the corn. That means when a farmer is working, the food that the farmer is producing, he has hope that he will feed from it. Is that correct? He has hope that he will feed from it. And that's ordained. The Bible says it's ordained. That means it's authorized. It's permitted. We looked at that word on Sunday. Diatazo is appointed, is prescribed, is authorized for the minister to what? Feed off that which is providing. Now, we started talking about how, whilst the member needs to know how to give to the one who is laboring, or the disciple, you can say it differently. The disciple is the one that teaches the disciple. The disciple knows to give. I would say there's another step that New Testament books lets us see regarding giving and receiving. I would say there's a template at which the man of God or the pastor must know not to use the disciple to fund his own frivolous lifestyle. Yeah, that's what I called it on Sunday. It's not frivolous, as I said. That's what I called it on Sunday. Flamboyant. I knew there was word F, right? That, you know, how many of us don't like good life? Okay, how many of us like good life? You like to have good life, right? That means you like everything to go well. You like to have a good home, a good car. Is that correct? You want to be able to travel. You know, sometimes you want to travel, because of the availability of funds, you have to go by road. I've seen people who just say, "I just like road trip. I just like going on adventure. I just like road." I've heard people say that kind of thing. You know that it's not all of them. It's not all of them. That what they are talking is from a place of they love the adventure. It's from the adventure of their pockets. Are we together? And when I mean road trip, I'm not talking about road trip where you are driving. I'm talking about bus. How to get MBA, but National Express. Yeah, National Express. What you are looking for, the examples, or you're looking for the pattern, or you're looking for, you know, very basic ways that can save money. Ah, flight, £200 to go to Gatwick, £200 at 200 now. Look at some of them and say, if I give it to the poor now, will they not pray for me? And it's not poor they plan to give. Oh. It's not poor. I mean, they are the poor. They want to feed on it. Say, no, this money. Let me tell you. See, money is good. I listened to a man, Bishop Ibeyome. I was talking about how, you know, anytime he travels with his wife, once the wife enters into the hotel, the wife will just carry anointing oil and be rubbing on all the doors and putting anointing oil on the pillows, you know, rubbing pillow and everything. He said one day, they went to one very sophisticated hotel. It was after they've already settled into the hotel. He now started reminding her that you've not anointed the room. Do you understand that? So all the other rooms that they were going to anoint, it was the way the thing looked. you want to preserve yourself. But when you enter the very small thing, button, you know, there's a hotel that I was just booking a few days ago now, and they said, my key to my room, I can activate it on my phone. You know, now there's hotel, and there's hotel. There's a difference. There is difference. There is one where you want to eat, you have to go downstairs, or you want to shower, you ask them to go and you want to shower, they knock at your door and bring kettle and say, "Where's your bucket?" Down is hotel. And there's hotel that once you step into the shower place, the water just comes on. Right? And there are some other hotels where when you step into the shower place, you say, "Please, temperature go down a little," and it will adjust. Okay, this is another level, huh? You better be exposing this life, right? Money, you're exposing this life. So you imagine where. So you know there are some things that are only done because of where you find yourself. Yeah, where you find yourself. Because you know that when you see a hotel like this, when you see a hotel, once you are walking through the corridor, it's yellow light, not green, not this kind of light, or yellow. You know what you call yellow bulb. Yellow bulb, bulb is bulb. You know, this one is that one is yellow bulb. That we've seen the bulb shining like this. That the way they install the bulb is so that it can generate heat as well. So that the place will be warm as well. You know, when it goes to that kind of place, you can. The last person that might be here might be herbalist. So you want to annoy it. That's when you start seeing the pillow is not white. It's not. Right? But if you step into a place, right, and the smell that welcomes you at the entrance, do you understand? Somebody says, welcome, welcome to this, welcome to that. You know, you feel different. So everybody likes, everybody wants money. Now, why am I saying all these things? It's so that you as a man, as a woman, particularly one in ministry, if that's the kind of life you want, if that's the kind of life you want, there should be a sense of responsibility you have in a secular world to produce that kind of money. Are we together? Right? Yeah. Imagine I got married to a woman, for instance, who said she cannot drink tap water. Yeah? And I now come to church and I start saying, because you have to meet my needs as a church, I'll not be giving each of your family this week. This week, bring 10 cartons. And I say, we don't drink any other thing other than Nestle. Is that not correct? Can I not say that? Right? Okay. Eventually, you now bring. Now, you would even bring in the carton of water. It's tap water you are drinking. Right? So, if our adventure, tap water is accessible, it is clean. I'm talking about if, when you drink tap water, the thing affects your body. It is that if you drink it for 1 year, your body will be even shiny. But yet you feel like, no, because you are a princess, what do you call it? Princess, what do you call it, Sister Vin? Princess, princess, was the name you called it, princess something, right? Because you are a princess, right? You know, you now say, ah, no, there's this kind of, you know, I don't drive anything that is not from the Range family. So either give me a Land Rover, a Range Rover, a Discovery. Anything outside of the range is out of my range. It's out of your range. So imagine that is what the pastor is saying he wants as his birthday gift. You know, there are churches, like I said on Sunday, who determines a church that is supposedly wealthy? Is the people in the church. Yeah, the members in the church. Will all churches be the same financially? No. In fact, from history and from record, which one do you have more prominent? The people who cannot afford. Let's not just say poor. It's not good to just say poor like that. Yeah, people who are under, upcoming. Like I say, even say upcoming. Don't even use less. Yeah, they are upcoming, right? And what will that be as a result of? What is the industry you are finding yourself doing outside of here? How many times do you meet in a week as a church? We meet twice, is that correct? Sunday, fundamentally, and Wednesday. What's the expected thing that you should do with your time for the remaining 5 days you don't come to church? Mind you, even the 2 days you come to church, some of us still go to work those days. So what should you do with your time? You look for how to labor. You look for how to work. Paul will say, look at Ephesians 4. Are you there? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Thank you. Are you there? Let's do 27 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that the things which is good, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So what is Paul addressing? Paul was addressing those that steal. Right? What is the solution to a man that steals? What is God's word to him? Go and walk. What is God's word to every believer? Go and walk. Is it good to walk? Some people say, no, they don't walk. They just rip. How do we learn all these things? You know, May. Tomorrow is May. Some people in some part of the world now, they have some motivational speakers in front of them as we speak, saying you are not going into the labor market, you are going into the what? The favor market. Right? When I don't go into the labor market, do you know what? Let me ask you a question. Have you seen people who make money in the market? How many people do you actually think they just sit down and things come to them? You know, you shouldn't be shocked if you reach out to if you find out your CEO. I'm talking about somebody who is already a multi-millionaire in dollars or pounds. He's enrolled in the school learning. Is that not correct? You shouldn't be shocked. Why? Because they want to. Is that not part of labor? How do you get the certification? You will labor. You will read. So what's the instruction to every believer? We all want labor to give to those that don't have. Now, even those that don't have, what is their instruction to them? Labor, right? Go and work. Are we here? So Paul is not saying, so listen to it again, so because it can teach several things for what I'm just showing. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands and the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. You know, some people can be in church and say, we are those that are needed. Is that not true? Or are you all? Leave us in our WhatsApp group. We are those, we are the needy. I remember, you know, my dad, my dad used to give a lot. A whole lot. He used to give to a fort, really. You know? And I remember there was a time, you know, in partnership with some people, right, gave out gifts. I'm talking about gifts, probably 400 bags of rice. I'm not talking about 5 kg. I'm talking about the big bag of rice, 400. Gave like, you know, 14 motorcycles. Gave different things out, you know. And, you know, all those things in the name to, you know, so many things to say there. But somebody came to our church one day, right? And I said, Pastor, I hope you know there's no need in your church. Right? It was that day now sang to me that, I'll be truth. I'm trying to say there were people in church who just because, I was speaking to a friend of mine, Pastor AB, I think yesterday, and he was talking about how somebody in this UK, the person is a foreigner, right? Foreign, abroad. Got a way to come and do master here. To come and master in a course, right? And the person is not applying for jobs. Does he have any source of income? And, you know, the statement she made is that I can't afford to do any job that my parents will not be proud of me. He's talking about, what do you call it? Support. Support. Imagine a statement from somebody's mouth. No. When God means me, he means me. So they now ask her, how do you now pay for money today? She now said, no, that, you know, anytime she just, that when she goes to train station, she doesn't pay for train. That the Spirit of God tells her the train to enter there, they will not catch her. Is that not what Barahu? That's the person that Paul was talking to in Ephesians chapter 4. He said she would just go to church like that and just sense the Spirit of God say, enter that one. And she says that, and that's how she just enter. And you know, she just found out that she's coming down there looking for tickets, you know, and she just. And she doesn't have a work, she doesn't want to apply, she doesn't want to do anything. You know, those are the kind of people that they say they are needy. Only for my friend to now find out that. So they now ask that, okay, how do you feel? How do you do some things? The church, she now said the church she attends, they give her stipend every month. UK, you want to change church? UK, it was that that disappears. I won't tell you where. I said, Pastor, I'm coming. Every Sunday, Pastor, I'm coming. You are traveling. He said, the church, you know, they just have a welfare post. You know, and that's why as a church, we have to be careful as well. Because we will build nuisances in our environment. What does that mean? I don't understand. There are jobs for you to do. People want to give you a job. You say no. The job I want to get, that I want to do is the one that when my parents hear of it, they'll be proud of me. You know, sometimes you hear some things in life and you're like, people do exist. People do exist, though. People really do exist. it's like, you know, and that's the mindset people have in the church, where we don't work for things. Things come to us. See, you cannot build anything sustainable in this life with that mindset. And the reason why we keep shouting the way we do in church is so that it will not be too late before you find out. Yeah, before you, maybe you are 20, use your first 20 years to be expecting. Now you are 40, your brain has gone down a little. Your brain cannot assimilate a lot again, like you used to do when you're younger. You now say you want to go and do for course. You do course, you write the exam, you fail it 10 times. You say they are chasing from the village. When you were supposed to be doing course, I'll tell you something, but it does not sound well from a pastor's mouth. When you're supposed to be doing training, going for lecture and be doing things, you say you were waiting for things to come to you. Where now? Where are you? So Paul says, let him. So even those that are needy should walk. Let me tell you something. There's nobody in this life who cannot walk. Are we together? Everybody can walk. You know, you see some people who are even what we call disabled people and the things they do. You'll be shocked. I saw a video of a man who didn't have, you know, his hands were amputated from here, and he was playing the keyboard. That's the question. He was, you know, it's a different thing for you to be playing keyboard and be doing me. He was playing full chords. Like, I've not even sat down to understand how he was using. This is all gone. It's just, you know, it's just folded. Just, I can't even explain. And he was playing chords, progression, and it was full. And saying he played, if I rehearse from now, from this time now to next year, 5 hours every day, I don't think I'll get to where he is. I'm telling me that I know a little about keyboard. If I rehearse, that guy, what he was playing, it would take me almost 10 hours a day rehearsal for 1 year. And yet, he was there. You know, there's some people in this life that exist, and they are proofs and testament to you that you're a lazy human being. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
They are proof. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about the phone, and they were telling me some things that, you know, we're going through. And I said, if I sit down and tell you my own, you would dash me money. That's the truth. See, it's because some of us don't look like what we are going through. Amen? Some of us don't look like what we are going through. You know, if you know, for instance, as a pastor, everybody has assumed that everything is working well for you. Oh, because they're the one that's always leading, they're always the one shouting. It's not always like that. It's not always like that. It's not always like that. So what am I saying? I'm saying that no matter where you find yourself in life, have that posture of wanting to learn. I told the UK church leader, Nigerian church leader, when I went to Nigeria, and I said, see, give your all to Jesus and give your best, your good, your all, if possible, to your work, to your career. I hope you know there are some things you can say as a pastor because you've not coveted anyone's silver or gold. Paul made that brag. He said there was nobody in this church that coveted your silver or gold. Not that he was the richest. Is that correct? Not that he was the most comfortable. But there's a kind of stability he gives, particularly even in serving Jesus in ministry. Let me tell you, there are some financial burdens that will come with you. Your message will change. Yeah? You know, it's easy for me to explain it, but it's not easy for you to understand because you're not in the position where you are pastoring. Right? I'm telling you, you will go through dear need. Your message will change. Imagine one day I just come to church and everything I'm just shouting, you say, you must contribute to. Devorah is after you. What makes people shout against Devorah in the church? Particularly pastors or leaders. The money needs to be dropped. And you know an average person is stingy. That's the truth. An average person is stingy. One pastor, I shared with my friend yesterday, one pastor was talking in his church and people were sitting in their thousands. And he called the people that are counting money and said, how much is the offering every Sunday? All of them together, thousands of them like this. He said, everything is now up to $1,000. You know, I said it to my friend. I said, Kai, it is everywhere. It is everywhere. But, you know, Paul will say, let everyone learn to walk so that they can give to they that don't have. So I'm trying to say that if, for instance, you are working, and for instance, you are working, can both of you earn the exact same thing? Possibly. But can, now you are married, you are not married. If both of you earn the exact same thing, excuse me, who is going to spend more? Ideally, the one who is married. Right? So can the one who is married be working yet is needy? You get the point? So we don't identify needy because there is nothing that they are doing. We identify needy based on what's the proportion of what they need in their lives that they don't have even though they are putting in their all. I'll say one more time. What's the proportion of what they need that they don't have, even if they are putting in their all? So everybody leaves the church today. Everybody goes back home today. As I'm going back home today, for instance, I have meetings. I still have some couple of meetings I'm going to have with some of you, you know, today. And I'll still go back to work and do some work, you know. Yesterday, I was working till almost 12:30 midnight, you know, after having a very long day, right? Today, again, I'll go back and do some other things. Why am I working that way? It is so that I'm fulfilling scriptures when it says, let everyone, for instance, let him that stole steal no more. Let him go and work. So that he can what? He can have to give. So is everybody in God's palace supposed to work? Yes, what is Paul teaching? Work so that you can have to give. So is there anybody in God's palace who cannot give? So why are you giving? Fundamentally, because it's in your nature. You get that point? It's something that you have on your inside. Then also, what is giving? Let me tell you something. When you give in local church, do you know, it's good for a church, you know, to give, for them to be a giving structure in church. And at the end of the year, the church comes and does a pie chart. You know what they call pie chart? You know, to show how much came, how much went out. But do you know that that should not be what completes your motive for giving? Do you know what I'm trying to say? There's nothing wrong in us coming to come and project together and say, this, you know, last year we gave £250 million, we spent £270 million, blah, 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 this is what we did to your money. There's nothing wrong in that. That's transparency. But I'm saying you who is giving, right? I know the truth is that even the person who is leading and pastoring and is saying that is what we got as a church, your money must be included in that what we got. I always get that. Because who is not to give in the church? Nobody. Who is to give in the church? Everyone. So your satisfaction and joy must not come from a place of, I've seen what they've done with my money, so I'm happy. No, it is the word of God teaches it, you act on it. Are we together? Right? Have you been blessed today?